Rewind it back to the days of chillaxing on the beach and all-day fun with spring break on DraftKings Casino. Play exclusive games like Fan Fave Rocket. The excitement is endless, the vibes are right, and the cash prizes could be huge. New players start playing with just $5 and get 100 back instantly in casino credits. Download the app and use code COLLEGEDRAFT to book your one-way ticket to fun with DraftKings Casino. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/football for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Ringo, I think his game, now he's not, athletically, he tests just like this guy I'm comparing him to. And physically, he's built like the guy I'm comparing him to. It's very much Xavier Rhodes-like in his approach.
Pour yourself a cold one.
Let's drink them, huh?
And listen to Russ Tucker break down the top college prospects on another tasty edition of The College Draft.
Yeah, it's Daddy Soda Time here on the College Draft Podcast, presented, of course, as always, by DraftKings. I'm Ross Tucker, former NFL offensive lineman. Most of you know this, 5 teams over 7 years. Those of you checking us out on video can see the helmets. I didn't keep my Browns helmet, but the other ones are up there. Cowboys, Bills, Patriots, and not one, but 2 helmets from the artist formerly known as the Washington Redskins, now the Commanders, although I guess maybe the new owner could potentially change the name of the team. That would be interesting. You can always check me out on social media at Ross Tucker NFL. We are at Ross Tucker Pods. What we do is we post some of the clips we think are the most interesting or most noteworthy from every episode on Twitter, on Instagram, Reels, on TikTok, either at Ross Tucker NFL or at Ross Tucker Pod. Or you can always watch the entire episode and see the clips, youtube.com/Ross Tucker NFL. The clips are noteworthy this week, by the way, because I saw my boy Emory Hunt in the firing line this week. Check him out on social media at FBallGamePlan on Twitter, FootballGamePlan on YouTube, where he's been a star for a long time. And honestly, still a great time to get the draft guide, because I know a lot of you, we're going to go over the next 8 weeks, the draft choices and the college free agent that jumps out to Emory the most for each NFL team. However, there's a lot of college free agents. There's a lot of tryout guys. There's a lot of guys that will eventually go to the XFL, the USFL. They're almost all in the draft guide. So just so you have it handy, footballgameplan.com/2023draft guide. I don't think many other podcasts or shows do this. We talk about pretty much every guy that got drafted. You know why? There's like 1,000. I think maybe the Eagles I saw had 1,400 scouting reports. So the Eagles had maybe 100 more than Emory or 200 more than Emory, but they have that many scouting reports on guys, and only 250 get drafted. So the least we can do is talk about those 250 plus one for each team, one or two that jumps out to Emory. Today we'll go into the NFC East. We just think it's really valuable to see who was drafted where and talk about them, so you know about the guys on your team and the other teams in your division. It's funny, though, Emory, because last week we reviewed the first round, and I was kind of joking, not really, but saying that the Chiefs kind of had to draft somebody in the first round. And by the way, there are reports out there that the Chiefs had talks about trading down, had some good offers to trade down, but ultimately didn't do it. And I think it was close enough that they thought, man, this would be bad for these people that have been outside now for 7 hours waiting for us to make a pick. But that clip, Emory, got a lot of social media attention because people were just stunned by your low rating, 38th ranked edge rusher of FAU, the DN from K-State that the Chiefs drafted in the first round. So I just wanted to allow you to maybe elaborate a little bit more, because hopefully clips like that, you know, prompt people to actually listen to the whole show and listen to the context of what we're talking about.
Yeah, unfortunately, man, you know how I got to give a shout out to my guy at Paulie Wall on Twitter, because he broke it down perfectly when he, you know, when someone had questions about my Jahmyr Gibbs ranked higher than Bijan Robinson, and someone threw out there my quarterback as a slight, like, oh, look what he did in 2016 with his quarterback rankings. And so this guy on Twitter was like, oh yeah, let's look at it. If you take out the guys that, if you filter out the guys that didn't get an opportunity in the NFL, he still had Carson Wentz ranked, because I think Carson Wentz was my 12th quarterback with a fourth round grade. And so he said, if you filter out the guys that didn't get an opportunity, Wentz is ranked fifth. Who at that time had Wentz as the fifth quarterback taken, you know? And so no one did except me. And I got heat for that in 2016 when I saw it correctly, that he's kind of just a solid, decent player that you're going to always look to try to enhance or replace as a starter. And so when people look at the 38th ranked edge rusher, they're looking at the number 38. They're not looking at the overall grade, which is, like you said before, there's really no difference between 38 and 18. And the reason why that is because I am different in terms of how I grade guys. If I just worked off the combine list, then this guy probably would have been my 12th edge rusher, and people would have been fine with that, right? But because I go to all of the different All-Star games, more than any other draft analyst out there, and because I grade over 1,000, you talked about the Eagles with 1,400, I graded over 1,000, and people were saying, I remember somebody said during that whole Jahmyr Gibbs thing, like, why would he grade over 1,000 players? Only 250 get drafted. It seems like a waste of time. I was like, well, I'll do what the league does, or try to do from a media perspective and grade as many players. I said the league has over 3,000 scout reports. So, because you never know when someone may pop up and get on a team. And so for me, that's my process. And I think I had the same grade on, I got to go back and check, but I'm pretty sure he has the same grade that I had on Tack McKinley. And Tack McKinley was a first round pick. I wasn't as high on him. And again, I just felt like he's someone that could be a rotational pass rusher. He's that, you know, there's a lot that he has to clean up. And he's, again, going to a team 31 in a situation where they can allow him to be a spot player. That doesn't mean I think he's like the 38th. I think he's horrible. It's just that when you grade over 1,000, you got to rank guys. Guys got to filter in. I grade over 125 running backs. So some players look at it like the right way. Some people look at it the right way. And some people look at it as, again, most of these people are K-State fans, Kansas City Chiefs fans. I get it. But, you know, it's the guys in the media that also were taking shots that need to understand how things work. We're not focused on just the combine list or the guys that go to the Senior Bowl. We're out there grading everything. And so that's why 38 seems like a big number, but in the scope of however many DNs they have in college, 38, that doesn't seem that bad to me.
Well, Emery, you don't really know for 3 or 4 years. We just saw the third year options for the 2020 first round picks. Only 12 got picked up. Only 12. Of the 32 first-round picks, that means 20 – well, there were some guys that got extensions or whatever, but only 12 got picked up in terms of fifth-year options, which goes to show you a lot of these guys don't become what people are going to think. Let's see how he plays. Maybe he's an all-pro every year and you were too low on him. That, maybe he stinks and you were exactly right.
But that's what I want to say. Let me jump in and say – the fact that what really bugged me was folks were saying, oh, how can you say this? The league has over $1 million invested in scouting, over hundreds of evaluators. How can you say this? Like, you as a media guy sitting at your house, like, this is the same amount of resources that had Lamar Jackson go 32nd. This is the same amount of resources that had Zach Wilson go 2. Like, that's not
Tom Brady's sixth round.
Exactly. So it's like, and in the same, just a couple of days ago, the same person has said, well, you don't really know for 3 to 4 years, but you know this guy on day a week later that he is the GOAT. If that's the case, he would have went first. Like, so my thing is, we both don't know. And people always say, like, well, he missed on this guy. And I always find out, if you could count my misses, that means I hit a lot. So, yes, we all have misses. And at the end of the day, the reason why I never say, oh, I missed on this or I missed on that, my scout reports are out there with my name on it, my face attached to my profile. You could find my misses. So there's no need to be like, yeah, I missed. Yeah, of course, it's evident if it's still sitting there and what you read or what I said doesn't jive with what you see or what has happened or what's transpired. So there's no need to say I won on this or I missed on that. My reports are out there. So people could, you know, let the chips fall where they may, rank and file them. And there we go.
Well, and this is a much longer conversation, because even whether or not the player is successful or not, it is not totally independent of their evaluation, meaning like this right scheme, the right coaching staff, do they stay healthy? I mean, there's a million factors. It's not like if a player's good and you say he was good, you made it. If a player's bad and you say he's going to be good, you're wrong. Like, no, maybe the guy got hurt. Maybe he went to the wrong team. Like, there's a lot of factors out there. Speaking of it, let's get to the Cowboys. We talked about their first round pick, Mazi Smith. I'm curious about rounds 2 and 3. Luke Schoonmaker, the tight end from Michigan. I think we did talk about last week a little bit. And DeMarvian Overshone, the linebacker from Texas. Their other guys were Viliami Fehoko, the DN. I love that guy. The San Jose State DN. That's an all-day sucker. Asim Richards, the tackle from North Carolina. Eric Scott Jr., cornerback Southern Miss. Deuce Vaughn, who I think you're a fan of, Emory, if memory serves, running back K-State. And then Jalen Brooks, the wide receiver from South Carolina. Your quick hit thoughts on those guys.
I absolutely loved the Cowboys draft. And as much as they get flack for, you know, being America's team and they haven't made a conference championship game or a Super Bowl, they are never a bad football team because they draft legit talent. And this was a talented class. So I thought every pick they had made sense, especially when you look at types and fits and all of those things that they look for with a team. Schoonmaker fits in what they look for at that tight end profile. Asim Richards is someone that can play tackle or guard, in my opinion, but I thought he was a good athlete. Brooks from South Carolina is a fantastic athlete that still has upside left as a receiver. He is someone that plays legitimately faster than he tests or whatever in his pro day or with his combine. He is someone that still has that upside left within his game. It's going to be a core special teamer. Overshone, another versatile athlete. You look at their linebacking core. This is someone that was a former safety, playing linebacker now and still, you know, figuring that out. So he still has some growth left within his game, but has the athleticism that you look for. Running chase backer. Scott, coming from that secondary at Southern Miss, I've talked about this all throughout the offseason during the All-Star Game circuit, all 8 games I went to. Anybody that played at Southern Miss, BYU, stood out at these All-Star Games. Scott was one that stood out. And Fehoko was my number 2 4-3 defensive end. So I'm like you. I'm a big fan of his game. There was one game I watched where the first play of the game, he got cut block, got up, chased the play down the field, and laid a boom on the ball carrier. That's the type of effort he shows down in, down out. There was another game I watched where the first 4 plays he made. So those guys, to me, find themselves on the field. And when you think about Deuce Vaughn, it's all about fit. It's all about situation. People laughed at my 3rd-ranked running back of Deuce Vaughn because he's one, you know, 50 or 70-something, 5'5", 5'6". Now you plug that into this offense, now it looks a lot better, right? Because I think he has a chance to be their RB2 and be an explosive playmaker running complement of a Tony Pollard. So I love their draft, and their undrafted free agent haul was impressive too.
Who's the guy that jumped out to you there?
Listen, Hunter Luebke, Darrell Johnson from Liberty. You look at Cropper from Fresno State, speed demon. You go on defense. You also look at Isaiah Land from FAMU. They brought in Marquise Bell last year from FAMU and played well for them. So this was a really good collection of talent for Dallas. It's going to make it hard for the coaches to get rid of guys. Hunter Luebke is their starting fullback right now, but also can handle the football as a traditional tailback. If Pollard is slow to recover, Luke is fantastic. So for me, this was all around very good for Dallas.
Yeah, he could be there like pound it back, short yardage, pound it back. I love it. I also love the Game Time app. It's so good, Emery. I mean, right now, I can get tickets Thursday night to the Sixers game against the Celtics, game six, $163. I could go to the Blue Jays Phillies on Wednesday for $11. Taylor Swift, a little more expensive, almost $1,400. That's not the point. The point is, with the Game Time app, you can actually see on your phone exactly where the seat is, which is awesome. They have flash deals on all these tickets. And remember, the NFL schedule is coming out on Thursday. So go right to the app that guarantees you'll always get the best price. Because if you find tickets in the same section or row for less, they actually credit you 110% of the difference. So get the Game Time app now, create an account, and use code DRAFT for $20 off your first purchase. So as soon as this schedule is released, tickets will be available. Terms apply. So again, create that account, redeem code DRAFT for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price, guaranteed.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Well, this is cool, Emery, because let's get to the Giants now. And you actually saw a lot of these guys on the field already. This is like cheating, because you always cover a lot of things after the Giants. So you were there for rookie minicamp. So this will be as good of a breakdown as any, because you've already seen some of these guys. We already talked about Deontay Banks. I think we talked a little bit about John Michael Schmitz and Jalen Hyatt. Their other guys were Eric Gray, the running back from Oklahoma, Trey Hawkins, the third, cornerback from ODU, Jordan Riley, a D-tackle from Oregon, and Javarius Owens, a safety from Houston.
Well, let's start with Jordan Riley. As soon as I walked up to the practice, I was told by a couple of guys on the Giants beat, like, man, we had nothing. No one had anything on Jordan Riley except you. We found your scouting report in your draft guide, because guess who was at the NFLPA game? Boom. You know what I'm saying? So that's where I saw him, and he stood out. He's a big, large dude, man, 6'5", 330, and they were able to grab him in the seventh round. Excited to see how he competes. He's going to six schools, and I asked him a question, like, how do you keep the faith? He was like, I never lost faith and always knew I couldn't achieve this goal, because, man, it's hard to go to six different stops and still and not think that NFL dream is drifting further and further away. Eric Gray is a fantastic back, man. He's a thickly built guy for someone of his stature. Again, they must love quads because he has some big ones as well. Fluid guy, catches the ball well. You could tell that's what they are looking for at the position. You also look at Trey Hawkins. And I said this last year in their first season with Wink Martindale, that everyone in the secondary was like a clone factory. This is the same thing. Everyone they love in the defensive backfield, they bring in the defensive backfield, has length and height. So these dudes are long, they're athletic, they're versatile. Someone like Hawkins can play any one of the positions that you need. He's a physical guy, he can tackle, even though we didn't see any tackling there, but he was someone that really stood out just by sheer movement skills, as did Javarius Owens out of Houston, another one that has tremendous length, tremendous size. These guys look like receivers out there in terms of how tall they are with the long arm. So they're getting versatile across the board. They're also getting a situation where they want to make sure they're able to match up with everyone they face out there on the field.
Who jumped out at you in terms of the undrafted guys?
There was two. Alex Cook of Washington was fantastic. You know, versatile guy, can match up one-on-one. Hold his own in coverage, can kick down inside in the slot, can play any one of the safety spots. So it's going to be fun to watch him, you know, do things throughout the course of training camp and see how he progresses. And Ryan Jones, the tight end, I thought he ran great routes. I thought he did a great job in working himself open at the top of the route. Does a fantastic job of tracking the ball well. He was someone that really stood out. It was tough because our vantage point, they had us between the goal from the end line of the goal line, the back line, and to the 10-yard line. So when they're working on the far side of the field, it's hard to see. They didn't really do much 7-on-7 or 1-on-1s, and defensive backs practiced on the other field. So it was kind of our vantage point was a little bit limited. But what I did see, those guys were some of the ones that really stood out.
Let's get to the Philadelphia Eagles. Obviously, we talked about Jalen Carter and Nolan Smith in the first round. I think we touched a little bit on Tyler Steen and Sidney Brown in the third round. But what about Kelee Ringo, Tanner McKee, Moro Ojomo? In fact, you know what? You know, we didn't really spend that much time on Tyler Steen and Sidney Brown because you and I went over primarily the first round last week. So we got Tyler Steen, Sidney Brown, Kelee Ringo, Tanner McKee, and Moro Ojomo for the Eagles.
Yeah, Steen has that phone booth strength that you want. Like, he could win in that area, that short area right there, all day long. You know, he's a tackle. I think he has some guard flexibility. So for me, it's you know, how aggressive he's getting in his quick sets and his pass pro that help him out, and building depth along the offensive line is something that I wanted to, you know, see the Eagles do in this draft. Smith, fantastic player. I think his best football is ahead of him. We should have learned by now, Georgia asked guys to thrive in a role. And so we may not have seen the full repertoire, but I feel like we're going to get the full repertoire from Smith as a pro. He already has the length and ability to close on the quarterback. Ringo, I think his game, now he's not athletically, he tests just like this guy I'm comparing him to. And physically, he's built like the guy I'm comparing him to. It's very much Xavier Rhodes-like in his approach. Now, if he can start finding the football a little bit better, then he could have a ton of interceptions. But, you know, he can press, he's physical, he's aggressive, has the right mindset for the position. Sidney Brown was one of my favorite players. I think he was like my number two strong safety. So I'm a big fan of him. I remember I threw this out there because I felt like he was making similar plays. He, like how Mike Brown was making with the Bears that year in 01, where it seemed like every tip ball, he was running out of nowhere, out of the parking lot to pick it off and bring it back for a touchdown. And I thought that's a lot what we saw from Sidney Brown. And the fact that he's able to fly with 150 miles an hour in all directions is good too. So for me, all of those guys, the picks that the Eagles made were solid. They were rock solid players, good football players. And at the end of the day, that's what the job entails. Can you play football? And I thought all of those guys can definitely play football.
Any thoughts on McKee or Ojomo? Tanner McKee, Stanford quarterback, Ojomo, the D tackle?
McKee is someone that I thought was – I liked his tape better than Mills coming out. I thought McKee threw the ball a little bit better than Mills. Mills moves a little bit better than McKee, so they kind of in the wars. It's funny because they kind of fit the Stanford quarterback prototype. Like, they had those guys, you know, cloned in the factory as well. Ojomo is another one that is going to provide good depth up front on the interior. And the more you can do, the better your chances are. So we'll see how he fits in that rotation. But they, again, they're so deep there. You know, Tui Pulatu is someone that I liked last year or 2 years ago. And then you got Kentavious Street, who, when healthy, is phenomenal. So he has his work cut out. Noah Ellis was a rock solid nose tackle coming out of Idaho. So yeah, he's there, but he has his work cut out for him. Could be a good practice squad candidate.
Any undrafted guys, Emery?
Oh man, like if Ricks pans out, Ricks is really good, man. Eli Ricks can ball. And you know, I understand why he went undrafted. But man, on field, he is excellent. Gotta stay healthy, number one, but the athletic traits and the way he can, you know, take the ball away and play the ball in the air. This is a sleeper acquisition for Philadelphia. Nada had a really good NFLPA Bowl, and then he got the call up, I believe, to the Shrine Bowl out of Clemson. Big physical wide receiver, can pluck the ball out of the air. Big fan of Hazelwood, too. Another one of these big receivers that can play. And then you go and look at, you know, Mekhi Gardner. I got to give him a shout out because he's a former Raging Cajun by way of LSU. But he's another one that's a big physical corner, can probably see his services moved to safety.
Finally, the Commanders, they took Emmanuel Forbes in the first round, the corner from Mississippi State. We talked about that. Jartavius Martin, the corner from Illinois in round two. Ricky Stromberg, the center from Arkansas in round three. Braden Daniels, I know one of your favorites, from Utah, round four. KJ Henry, another edge from Clemson, round five. Chris Rodriguez, running back from KU, or UK, I should say, Kentucky. And then Andre Jones, edge from the Louisiana Ragin' Cajuns. Your thoughts quickly on those guys, Emery.
Jones is someone that I like. I like the person and I like the player. He's someone that can give them versatility as an edge guy, but also as a stand-up sandbacker as well. So keep an eye on him. Brayden Daniels was my number one tackle. We talked about him. They can even kick him down inside. Some teams view him as a guard. Stromberg gives him length at center, which is fascinating because they just let go their longtime center, which was a surprising move. So maybe they have a plan for him to start right away. And Henry was someone I was shocked to drop all the way down, but they at least feel some depth there on the outside as a pass rusher.
What about the undrafted guys? Who jumped out to you?
Kazmir Allen out of UCLA, former running back turned wide receiver. So you can get creative in how you utilize him. And he has legitimate track speed. So keep an eye on him. Joshua Pryor out of Bowie State was on the Senior Bowl radar a couple of years ago. His weight kind of fluctuated. You know, we found out he was dealing with depression. And then he got back right and got back to a great weight of 245 and had an excellent week at the HBCU Legacy Bowl, tested well at the HBCU Combine, and got back to getting after the quarterback like he did all throughout his career at Bowie State. So he's someone that could surprise in camp. And also, I'm a big fan of what they brought in Tim DeMorrett. I called one of his games that, seven overtime game against Monmouth. This guy has reckless abandon in how he plays in a good way. He's going to work touchdown to check down the passing game. So I'm excited to see how he gets out there and competes.
Check him out on social at FBall Game Plan on Twitter, Football Game Plan on YouTube, footballgameplan.com/2023draft guide, NFC South next week. I'm at Ross Tucker NFL. We are at Ross Tucker Pod. And we're breaking down every draft pick and more here on the College Draft Podcast. Keg is kicked. We're all tapped out.
Thanks for listening to the College Draft Podcast. Make sure to also subscribe to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, Fantasy Feast, Even Money, and The Business of Sports. All available at Apple Podcasts, RossTucker.com, or wherever podcasts can be found.